Wyndham Hotels and Resorts makes travel possible for all. Whether it's the long haulers looking for a great cup of coffee, a roomier rest for the on a whim road trippers, or a place to make summer memories with the whole family. No matter who you are, where you're going, or why, with 24 trusted brands to choose from like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, your Wyndham is waiting. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, and welcome to Immigrantly, a podcast that deconstructs the immigrant identity one episode at a time. I'm Sadia Khan. Now, those of you who know me know that I've been living in the US for over two decades. But every now and then, I daydream about returning to my motherland, Pakistan. It's like this mental marathon I can't seem to stop running. I'm constantly wondering what it would feel like, how people back home would see me after all these years, and how my identity has evolved. But to be honest, I also recognize the strong ties that keep me rooted here, mainly my kids, who were born and raised in the US. And you know what? Being a part of their lives is a non-negotiable fact for me. But today, I am interviewing someone who has taken that leap of faith and returned to their homeland. Ana Sheila Victorina is a queer Mexican well-being enthusiast and entrepreneur. Someone who explores and spreads the word on the importance of personal fulfillment and liberation through mental health and overall well-being. Ana is the co-founder of Bask and Being, a workplace wellness company that offers the tools, training, coaching, and consulting services needed to help individual contributors, leaders, and companies improve employee well-being and performance at the same time. She's also the creator of the Tamarindo podcast, a podcast that discusses, much like Immigrantly, politics, culture, and self-development, and has been featured in Oprah Magazine, Latino USA, Latina Magazine, Variety Magazines, Entertainment and Tech Summit, and Hip Latina.
Welcome to Tamarindo Podcast, hosted by me, Brenda Gonzalez, a political nerd and nonprofit capacity builder.
And me, Ana Sheila Victorino, a queer well-being enthusiast and mindset coach. We are a Latinx empowerment podcast discussing politics, culture, and how to keep your calma with well-being practices and self-love.
Welcome to the show.
So, with open arms, let's welcome Ana Sheila to Immigrantly. Hello, hello. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Oh, wait, are we starting?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry about that. Okay, let's go.
I like this. So yeah, you're in Mexico City right now, right?
I'm headed to Mexico City in 2 days.
Oh, so where are you right now?
So I'm in Los Angeles.
Ah, okay.
I'm from Mexico City and I moved to Mexico City for 2 years and moved back a little bit ago.
So is this move permanent or are you going to go back and forth?
You know, I think I opened up the doors to this deeper connection to Mexico, and I feel very called to it. And so I want to be going more regularly. And I also do envision and dream of a time where I will spend even more time there again. But I want to wait until I feel like the work that I'm doing, it can also center Mexican communities in a meaningful way. I would love to move back to Mexico when I can center my work around Mexican communities, because even though I'm from there, I have family there, have very personal reasons for wanting to be there. I didn't feel comfortable living there as essentially a digital nomad, given the impact that has had on communities there, including my family.
I want to talk a little bit about your time in Mexico. You moved to Mexico 2 years ago. And I wonder, how did you see yourself there? And how did others see you?
I mean, I think I saw myself as someone with a deep connection to the country, a connection specifically to the city I moved to. I was from there. But of course, I think what was not lost on me is that I'm not Mexican like they are Mexican. Like, I think when you're growing up, there's a phrase that everybody knows, Mexican-Americans know. It's called ni de aquí, ni de allá, which means I'm not from here and I'm not from there. And you grow up as a young person trying to really fit in as an American. And so you sort of overcompensate and sort of sometimes, try to convince people that you really are American, right? And then when you go visit your family in the country you're from, in my case, Mexico, you sort of want to show people that you really are Mexican too. And, you know, the older that you get, and so I'm from Mexico, so I was born there. But, you know, the older that you get and you spend in the country, you start to Spanish or the language, Spanish started to get a little bit more difficult for me and I felt a little bit more distance. And so you grow up that way, kind of feeling like you don't really fit. And so coming into the country, that I was very aware of that, you know, that I'm not like everybody else that's here.
What did that awareness do for you? How did it influence your stay, your journey in Mexico?
I mean, I think I've done a lot of healing around this. I think in the past, I would have been really like upset about not fitting in. And I think I'm like, you know what? I have a close connection to this country. But this also gets to be a learning experience for me. I'm not going to know everything. There's going to be things that I'm going to have to figure out. And it was interesting, you know, with Mexicans there, because sometimes it kind of was like a game, like how long can I go and speak in Spanish before they know that I'm not from here, right? And it, you know, especially at the beginning, it would happen pretty quick because there would be something simple that I should know how to do, or the words that I didn't know how to say, or I was expressing myself in a way that was kind of funny. So yeah, it was like a game, like how long can I go without people recognizing?
It's so interesting you say that, because I do that with English. I grew up in Pakistan. I speak 5 languages. And for me, English has always been this cerebral, intellectual language, right? So I will speak it when I am trying to engage in a more academic conversation. And Urdu, Pashto, all the other languages, my mother tongue, which is Pashto, is more for showing emotions and being authentically myself. And there are times when I'm like, how far can I go in English before I stop and I revert to something else? You've talked about how important Spanish is in your life. You talk about how learning Spanish allowed you to connect with parts of you that you had suppressed. What parts had you suppressed, Ana Sheila, and how did learning to speak Spanish more fluently help you unravel those dimensions of who you are?
I love that you mentioned that, because it's interesting. English does feel like it's my cerebral language. It's the language that I learned in school, right? But Spanish was my first language.
Ah.
You know, I always say Spanish is the language I learned to love in. And so growing up, as I struggled a little bit more with my Spanish, I did feel like I was like more disconnected. And so even though Spanish feels like the language of, similar to you, like the language of my emotions of love, I couldn't express myself really comfortably in it. And so imagine what that feels like to be disconnected from this language that makes you feel more connected to your emotions and to your heart for most of your life. And so that, I think, is one of the most beautiful things that moving to Mexico gave to me, is that I unlocked a new level of fluency where I felt so much more comfortable speaking in Spanish. And that did feel like it unlocked a connection to myself that I had been suppressing. And that, I didn't even know that that's what I was going to get from that time in Mexico, but that is one of the most beautiful things that I received, is unlocking a deeper connection to myself by how I spoke Spanish.
When you were in Mexico as a resident for 2 years, what were some of the things about Mexico that you discovered that you were unaware of? Any romanticization of Mexico that you had in the US, did you revisit any of it, or was it reinforced in a way?
That's a good question. You know, I lived in Mexico City. So, you know, it's a very, at this point, it's become a very international city. So I think I actually was really impressed with it, to be honest. Like, I think you can't help but compare where you're coming from, where you are. So it was very cool to see, you know, sometimes people, you know, set up Mexico to be a third world country, et cetera. And it was really cool to see some of the things that they've been doing really well, development and infrastructure wise. And that's not to say everything's like that in Mexico. There's, but I was really, you know, impressed with a lot of the things that I, efforts that I did see, and a lot of progressive things that, I saw in different aspects of daily life that was really beautiful to see. I mean, some things, you know, still continue to be true. Like, you know, Mexico is also known to have a lot of bureaucracy around getting things done. And that, you know, continues to be true. But you know, like, in a way, it's like, if we didn't have that, I would be like, am I just in another, and like a different version of the United States with a lot of Mexicans?
Yeah.
And it would never really be like that. It would never really be like that. But in a way, I do appreciate some of those things that, even though I was complaining about it, the bureaucracy and like the slow moving, it's like, in a way, I appreciate that there's some things that are still kind of the same. And like, I appreciate, you even kind of enjoy complaining about it. You know, it's like a thing. It's a cultural thing.
And Sheila, I was doing research on the work that you've done. And at one point, you were trying to be this perfect Mexican, perfect immigrant. And I'm curious to know, why perfection? Why do we vie for perfection? Isn't it almost contradictory to human existence? Human existence is messy. It's imperfect. And I feel this is such an American concept of wanting to be perfect. How did that change, if at all, when you moved to Mexico?
Yeah, I mean, I think that in part, I wanted to be perfect because, I mean, it's kind of related to my immigrant status in a way. It's related to so many things. It's related to being the oldest daughter. It's related to being gay. And so all these things that, like, identities about myself that made me, you know, I saw being gay as like being a bad thing. So I'm like, how can I be perfect in all the other ways? I'm an immigrant, so I want to make sure that Americans think that, you know, I deserve to be here. I'm the oldest, and I have a dad that's sometimes present, sometimes not. So I need to be perfect so that my mom has support and doesn't have three children, you know? So like, I felt a lot of pressure to meet expectations for my mom, for the country that I was living in. And I think going to Mexico, having that experience, it did just help me be more rooted in me and all of me and the beauty of who I am, and not necessarily needing to be anything for anyone, including Mexican enough for the Mexicans.
I think that.
Or American enough for the Americans. I think that it really solidified, you know, this journey that I've been on in recent years away from, I'm not from here, not from there, but that I have a little bit of different cultures, and how beautiful, what a beautiful being that makes me, with a beautiful perspective and more empathy because I understand different experiences, and I'm not as nationalistic because I can, you know, step back and see, you know, I have a different perspective that informs how I see each country. And how beautiful is that?
This idea of dual nation experience, how invested do you feel you are in the US politics and what's happening right now? Because your podcast, Tamarindo, which you've departed from, focuses a lot on ideas of culture, politics, and intersections of identity within that.
Mm-hmm.
How do you see the US as someone who's also experienced living in a different country?
I have an appreciation for the things that I've learned living in that country and for certain opportunities. I won't deny that. But I think that I have a more grounded perspective, and the experience for a lot of folks from my community has looked like in the country. And so what feels important for me is to continue to uplift the experiences of different communities in the US. And so that's what I center in the work that I do, is making sure that those voices and experiences and needs are considered.
In what ways does uplifting those experiences manifest for you?
It's through the work that I do with Tamarindo, which I was a co-host of for almost five years. So it's in creative projects that I'm doing. I also do a lot of wellness work, and I, make sure that, we consider the experiences of how intersectional identities affect well-being, and how the systems that we have to operate in are hurting humans, really.
There's so much to deconstruct in that, Ana Sheila. First, Tamarindo, you left it.
Yeah.
You were part of the project for 5 years, co-founder.
Yeah.
What led to that decision?
I think with any project that you work on, you get to renew, or any relationship, really, you get to keep asking yourself how, renewing your commitment to something. And I think sometimes there comes a time in projects where, or relationships, where you have to think, am I still able to give this my best? Where are we in this relationship, in this project? And in a sense, for me, it felt like the right time. Honestly, I gave that project my all, like my whole heart for a long time. And I had so much energy. But, podcasting is difficult. And so I just got to a point where I needed to take a break. I needed to really reconnect with myself, because if I'm not going to be able to give something my whole heart, then that's not the place for me at the moment. And I need to recalibrate.
It's 2011 and the Arab Spring is raging. A lesbian activist in Syria starts a blog. She names it Gay Girl in Damascus.
Am I crazy? Maybe.
As her profile grows, so does the danger.
The object of the email was, please read this while sitting down.
It's like a genie came out of the bottle and you can't put it back.
Gay Girl Gone. Available now.
Talking about giving your 100%, you describe yourself as a well-being enthusiast.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
That means that I care so much about helping people create the conditions to be able to take care of themselves and live fulfilling lives. And so everything that I work on, I wanted to contribute to healing in some way. So, and, on the podcast, like, I would speak a lot about things that I was learning and going through that I felt would resonate with people in the work that I do. Literally, a workplace wellness company, we help people evaluate their cultures and make recommendations. So how can we help heal their culture? I'm really committed to that because I feel like so many things in our society really push, unhealthy systems. Like, I think capitalism, like, if it's unfettered capitalism, is not healthy.
Absolutely.
It doesn't care about your well-being. It cares about your output. And so in a system that doesn't care about cares about the output, if you don't have other things that are paying attention to your well-being, like, you have to intentionally devote yourself to being well, because all the systems around you are not helping that.
Give me an example. If I were to become more intentional about my well-being, if I wanted to do that, if I wanted to partake in that process, where do I start?
You start by asking yourself questions. And I think it's funny how much we don't do that sometimes. How you finally ask yourself a question and you get an answer that you haven't had your whole life. So it's like the question is, what do I need this morning? What makes me happy? What am I grateful for? You get to start asking yourself the questions that make you well. To me, well-being and to feel well doesn't always mean that you always feel happy or everything's going great, but it's knowing yourself enough to know when you need help and having the tools and resources to be able to get back to a state of feeling, you know, at peace and able to make good decisions. A lot of times that requires some discovery and practice, right? So it's asking yourself these questions. It's starting to do really small things like trying out different exercises and tools, which is exercise, which is breathing. So there's so many different tools and it's about kind of tinkering and playing around with different ones and seeing what works for you in different times too.
You're on a well-being path as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
What has that discovery process been like for you?
I mean, one thing is that it's a never-ending journey. It's a commitment. You know, you think that you've done all this healing work and then you encounter something that kind of feels like the rug is lifted up your feet. And then you're like, oh, well, I thought I had already learned these things. I thought I had already, you know, broken these patterns. And then, you know, you realize there's layers to that. And sometimes, you know, addressing some things means that we have to go a little bit deeper. And sometimes it can be kind of scary to go a little bit deeper. So then, you know, so I think it's been beautiful to, in a way, see that too, because the goal doesn't need to be completely healed. And I think sometimes, like, I feel like that's kind of capitalism kind of seeping into to wellness and these healing journeys that we're all talking about now. It's like, oh, yeah, I'm trying to get healed, you know? And so unraveling that has been a really beautiful thing in this journey, because I feel like I started doing that. I'm like, oh, well, I didn't meditate and run and da-da-da this morning. Like so all of a sudden I was like judging myself about these things that are literally supposed to make me feel better and nothing else.
You talked about breathing, and I've heard so many people talk about breathing and how important it is in your wellness.
Yeah.
Journey or your wellness process. I have not yet been able to do it regularly. Any tips on how one can be consistent in doing that?
First of all, like, I think there's so many different ways, you know, like there's so many different tools that help you feel well. Like for some people, like a sitting meditation is great. For some people, it's a walking meditation. Like you can walk and that's meditative. It's about you getting to know and checking in with you, like, how does this feel? How does this feel? How does this feel? So like you can test different things, but if your goal is to, for example, introduce breathing into your practice, you know, it's the same as anything. It's like a new habit, something new that you're trying to incorporate, and that is hard. So tips on how to do that. Number one, start small. I use the example of the gym, like they do this like 30-day, like I'm going to go to this challenge and they end up quitting, you know, because it's like was so intense. So starting small, it's, you know, I'm going to try a breathing practice 3 times a week just for 3 minutes. And then, you know, putting it in your calendar. So what are the things you can do to remove the barriers? Like put it in your calendar, make it really easy, really bite-sized, attach it to something else you already do. So if you have coffee, can you wake up at this time? Can you wake up 10 minutes earlier to include this exercise?
Hmm.
I'm a coach, and one of the things I do with my clients, and I really love this practice because one of the big pieces about, you know, wellness journey or just like self-connection journey is to start to pay attention, more attention to yourself and creating time to pay attention to yourself, because it can be easy to disconnect. And so what I'll do with folks is I'll do, we start a few minutes of just breathing. You know, you sit down and you're really just slowing down your breath. You're paying attention to, how was I breathing before this? Was it short and choppy? So your breath, your body, and your brain are constantly communicating with you how you are, but you have to pay attention. And so, you know, if you start lengthening your breath, you can notice that, oh, a second ago, it was really choppy and short. So I was stressed or I was nervous. And now I'm calming down. Okay, that's a signal. So now you know where you were before. And now you know, oh, this is actually really helpful because I was a little bit anxious or whatever that was, right? So I start with just a few moments of breathing, like, you know, just a few moments, just lengthening, inhale, lengthening the exhale, and just finding, you can find a really, it's so beautiful to see how quickly, just with your breath, you can find this like pace that feels sweet and like calming in just a few seconds. So I start with that. And then I ask people, I always do this. And then I ask people to, after they start breathing, kind of, you know, getting a little bit of like a flow, then I ask them, what are you wanting to invite in today? So this is a morning practice that you can do every, it takes 5 minutes. So you start breathing, then you ask, what do you want to invite in today? So like, what are you needing to hear? If you could pick some words. So for example, Sally, I want to ask you, like today, what would you love to just feel more of today? If there was a word that, or feeling.
Content.
Content. Okay, so you just want to feel contentment. So then you kind of imagine, you're breathing and you imagine that word feeling like going in through your nose and just filling up your whole body. And so I ask, I go through that. And so then now you're using your mind to calm you down. And when you ask yourself that question, you also notice, oh, what am I needing? And that tells you where you were before. So if you were needing, if you need peace, if you're the word that comes with peace is maybe you were feeling a little unsettled before. So that's another little signal. And then I ask people like, what do you want to release? And it's what word, what feeling? So if I was to ask you, Sadia, what feeling would you want to release today?
Anxiety.
Anxiety. And it's interesting because, you know, these little practices, they're little things you can do. And that doesn't mean you're going to change your whole like reality, but they're little things that can help a little bit and can help release so that you can get through your day. And obviously you want to make changes. If, for example, if someone's feeling a lot of anxiety on a day-to-day, they might want to make some bigger changes around their environment. But in the meantime, like just even this, for example, just imagining exhaling out your anxiety.
Yeah.
Like just
oh my
like
gosh,
the
I
actual
love
release.
It.
And so I'll do that. And then the last thing is I'll ask people that like, now you're really connected. How's your body feeling? Like, where are you feeling tension? Because we hold a lot of stress and different feelings in our tension, in our body. And I ask people to kind of check in and like do some body rolls or like some stretches. And so just like, that's a morning exercise that you can do just to start to pay attention to yourself a little more.
It's absolutely beautiful. Talking about healing, I was looking through your Instagram and you talk a lot about letting your niña guide you.
Yeah.
And I wonder how important that is as part of your healing journey.
I think something I realized is that like little Ana Sheila was exactly who I've always wanted to be. And as little Ana Sheila got older, you know, she got hit with societal expectations. She got hit with feeling like she needed to hide these things about her. She got hit with just so many things that were actually outside of who she actually was. And I think that I realized that because I remember talking about this moment when I was like 10, when I changed schools and, you know, someone asked me if I was a boy or a girl because I dressed like a boy, but I look like a girl or something. And I just remember this moment. And I remember like how I would still cry when I spoke about that. Or I remember when I would talk about moving and like the differences and what my environment was like. And when you still feel emotions about things, stories that happened when you were little, then you know that there is still an emotional trigger and connection to something. So you're grieving what you lost in that moment. And so I realized that little Ana Sheila was a creative, you know, writer. She was doing all the things that I realized that I loved from the start and I just slowly got away from. And so that's what I mean by wanting to be guided by her, because she is this pure being who was doing the things that were inside of her. And that's what I feel like as adults, sometimes we have to get back to because we lose connection to that. And that's why I do this, a lot of this work around wellness and self-development, because we lose connection to that. We lose connection to ourselves, honestly.
What part of it have you already gotten back?
I think the deeper love for myself. I think I used to not be able to say, you know, I love you. I love you, Ana Sheila. Like doing something, an exercise like that would have made me emotional or would have felt like I kind of choked up. And if you struggle with something like that, if something like that feels hard, it's because there's like something that there's still a little bit more embracing of yourself and a little bit more love that you can give yourself. So just a deeper love and acceptance for myself. And I have started to explore a lot of these creative pursuits. And, you know, Tamarindo was a great gift because it allowed me to do a lot of that through the podcast. It was a creative project, and it also allowed me to talk about a lot of these things, right? So yeah, the reconnection to creativity has been beautiful. My first dream was to be a writer, and so I've gotten to write in some little ways, and you know, continuing on with that path. Yeah,
you know, when I think about reconnecting with my childhood, I have this weird number in my mind of when I was four. It's like I want to go back to when I was four. I don't have any conscious memories of being four.
Yeah.
I feel I was probably the most me as a 4 or a 5 year old, which is so weird and interesting at the same time.
That's so beautiful. I hope that you get to explore that a little more. Like, who were you at four, right? And I know that it's like, maybe there are some deep memories there, but maybe they get constructed, like, you know, with speaking with your family. But I think that we would all be well served by connecting to our, you know, inner niños, niñas, niñas, because it is such a pure form of us. And, you know, I think that the more we can tap into that kind of energy and how we move through life, I think we'll make the present a lot more beautiful.
But it is an uncomfortable endeavor, Anushila, connecting with that.
100%.
Getting out of your comfort zone. And a lot of us are not willing to do that work because it's scary. It freaks us out.
Yeah. Even meditation was really scary to me at one point.
Why?
That's the thing. I was like, why am I scared to like sit down and do nothing? And I think I realized I was afraid of what might come up in the silence. And I had a health injury where I had to stay. I was like on a bed. I had to lay flat for a week and was hoping that through that I would heal an injury that I had and avoid a very possibly dangerous procedure. And so I was like praying. I was like doing like all the things that I had never done before, because I'm like, I'm going to like call on every possible thing I can call on to hopefully heal so I don't have to do this. And that also included trying to meditate for the first time. Because like I was like, well, I'm going to do everything. I'm going to visualize my healing, like, which is something that would have felt like really silly to me before.
But it is so powerful.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, people are scared. And that makes sense. Like, you know, things can sound really, at this point, because I've tried a lot of things, like nothing phases me. And I'm open to trying a lot of different, like, you know, I've done Reiki at this point, like a lot of the things that used to feel kind of very weird before. I'm open because a practice might not be for you. But what if it is? What if it unlocks something that you didn't know? And why not give it a chance? Because you don't know what's going to happen. So at this point, I'm very open. And it really starts with, you know, do the small thing. Yeah, do small things if you feel kind of scared, you know?
To me, it feels like you and I could have this conversation for hours. It's like sitting with a friend in your living room and just having this cathartic conversation. What are some of the upcoming projects you have lined up and what your audience should expect from you moving forward?
I think right now I'm taking some time to take it slow and do some reconnection to myself. I'm working on some short pieces, and I'm also considering, like, if I was to do another creative project, again, another podcast or another form, like, where do I feel like I can contribute in new ways, and what fills me, and what do I have the energy for? So I think you'll see things from me soon, but I'm in this moment of just self-reflection and determining what that next step is going to be.
And in the end, Anushila, if you were to describe the United States of America in a word or a sentence, how would you do that?
Sadia, that's a hard one. By the way, am I pronouncing your name correctly?
Absolutely. I love the way you pronounce my name.
Beautiful. I thought of one word as being a teenager. And I say that because, you know, a teenager still doesn't always, you know, they're growing, they're coming into themselves, but they still, you know, are a little bit narcissistic, self-obsessed.
Yes and yes.
Don't know how to take accountability for their actions yet, or have a harder time with it.
That's spot on. And Sheila, if people were to look for your work, is there a website they can go and check your previous work, your upcoming project, if they want to reach out to you?
I definitely still recommend, checking out tamarindopodcast.com. I mean, the project continues. It's a beautiful testament to the Latino and Latine communities, and just beautiful people doing beautiful work. My former co-host is continuing on the project and doing beautiful work. You can also listen to, I forget how many episodes we did together, but you can listen to a lot of the episodes that I did. We did some really beautiful work. You can also check me out at Instagram on, it's @la_anasheila, which is A-N-A-S-H-E-I-L-A. I've been taking a little bit of a break from being as active on social, but it is a place where I hope to be sharing a lot of my written work more frequently. Oh, I do have one story coming up. So hopefully you'll see this soon, but on Latina, the magazine Latina, should be doing a story that I wrote about starting to use my name. My name is Ana Sheila, but it took almost, most of my life for me to finally go by it. And it's a story around how coming back to using my full name is really a testament to the reconnecting to my and embracing my a fuller version of myself.
I love it. Thank you, Ana Sheila. This was so good. And if you're ever in New York, let's meet up.
I would love that.
Wasn't this incredible? I literally connected with my inner self during this conversation. I went back to my 4-year-old self, whatever that means. It's a place where I feel comfortable. It's a place where I feel happy. And I wonder if you guys have a number or a time or a place in mind that makes you happy, that makes you you. Ana Sheila is an amazing, phenomenal human. And I hope that our paths cross again and we do something together. This episode was produced by me, Sadia Khan, written by Adiba Hussain and me. The editorial review is done by Shay Yu. Our sound designer and editor for this episode is Hazik Ahmed Farid. Immigrantly theme music is done by Simon Hutchinson. Come back next week when we have another conversation that heals.